Good morning and welcome to our worship on this third Sunday of Epiphany. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The collect for this third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets to follow him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. I wonder what you would do at the drop of a hat. Maybe it would be to help someone in need, or if a family member is unwell and you are called to say that they need help. Maybe it's a stranger when you're out and about. Or maybe it's something as simple as holding the door open for another. The Collins Online Dictionary says that the meaning behind this saying is that if you say you're ready to do something at the drop of a hat, you mean that you're willing to do it immediately, without hesitating. The example that they then give is, India is one part of the world that I would go to at the drop of a hat. I wonder what for you needs careful thought and planning. And what would you do at the drop of a hat immediately, without hesitating? On the surface, this is what it seems our four fishermen do. They follow Jesus at the drop of a hat. Jesus says to them, "Follow me," and immediately they leave their fishing nets and they follow him. And then the story is repeated with the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Jesus calls them to follow him and they leave everything behind immediately. Which kind of seems highly irresponsible. They had families, and we know that Simon did. We know that John and James were working for their dad. They were the ones probably bringing the wage into the household. By leaving their father's business, James and John were effectively leaving what would one day be theirs to follow Jesus. Leaving Zebedee and others without the people to go fishing for them. Which would suggest to me that they may well have heard about Jesus already from John. And we heard in last week's gospel that John was telling people, "Look, here is the man, here is the Son of God, here is the Messiah." So did they already have that knowledge of who Jesus was from John? Or was Jesus just such a captivating speaker and charismatic person that they literally did just drop everything and follow him? The cost of which would be felt by their families around them. In the Jewish tradition, choosing to study under a rabbi and learn from them is usually done by the student seeking out a rabbi and asking if they can follow him. A rabbi would choose the disciples that he felt were the most promising, and those that did not make that cut, more than likely, then went home to continue the trade that they had learned or to learn the family business. Jesus, as always, does things slightly the opposite way round and calls upon those who are already working their trades and are providing for their families. The disciples that Jesus calls may well have previously sought out a rabbi to follow, but were unsuccessful in being chosen, and so went back to what they knew. What we have in this reading is the start of Jesus' ministry, as Matthew reports it. There is a bit of a shift in what we read. In the early verses of chapter 4, we read about Jesus being in the wilderness and being tempted after being baptized by John in the River Jordan. And then Jesus hears that John has been arrested and so moves from Nazareth to Capernaum. Now, as someone who loves looking at maps, I went down a very distracting path of comparing maps of the Old Testament times to Jesus' time to see how the two overlap, which the fruits of that is what you hopefully can see in front of you this morning. And there's a good reason for me giving you those maps, other than the fact that I found it really interesting, is that it helps us place what's going on in our Isaiah reading as well as our Gospel reading. Zebulun and Naphtali were the sons of Jacob, brothers to Joseph, one of the 12, two of the 12 even, that we read about in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, or you hear sung to you in the musical Joseph and His Technicolor Dreamcoat. Their descendants became the tribes with their names, and they settled, particularly those two, settled in the northern region of Galilee. The Assyrian Empire then conquered that region in 782 BCE, which meant some were taken into exile, and the area just became mixed with both those who followed the Jewish religion and those who did not. And this is what Isaiah is talking about in our reading that Fiona read from Isaiah 9. The fact that the Assyrian army has come in, has taken the land of these two tribes. And chapter 8 speaks of that gloom and darkness in the area because of it. But chapter 9 that we had read, there's a shift from the gloom and the darkness becoming light and joy. And the beginning of that Isaiah reading might sound familiar, because actually we have it at Christmas. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. At Christmas it then jumps, misses out what we heard today, and jumps to verses 6 and 7, which are not included, but talk of a child being born, a son being given. And what you have on your maps are those two areas marked that show that where Capernaum is and Nazareth are those areas that Isaiah spoke about. It's the same piece of land that Jesus is in now that Isaiah spoke about in 700 or so BC. Isaiah is pointing to a time of darkness and gloom of the land that will change to light and joy. They can have hope that God is still with them, even though they followed leaders who did not follow God. But a time was coming where God would be revealed in the birth of a child, and this child would bring with him light and joy. Which is why Matthew includes this Isaiah passage in his gospel, as it's pointing to the fact that that prophecy is being fulfilled, that light and that joy that was to come to that northern area of Israel is in fact there when Jesus moves to start his ministry. In this third week of Epiphany, where we have seen God revealing who Jesus is in his baptism through the testimony of John the Baptist to others, and now being revealed through the Isaiah scripture, as well as Jesus himself proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is near, and in Jesus we find that light and joy spoken of. It is Jesus who calls the fishermen of Andrew, Simon, James and John to follow him, not at the drop of a hat maybe, but through a God-given understanding as to who this man was, and that indeed he was a light to all. We live in a world where it seems there are ongoing wars and conflicts, and the threat of a new conflict every day. For some in our world, war and conflict is a daily occurrence, and they don't know life without it. For others, there is a threat of invasion, and actually what that might mean for the rest of us. The world, it feels like, is not a place that is at peace. Even just the threat of a conflict that could affect us here in the UK is enough to put us on edge. The countless threats from Trump to invade Greenland, with the ongoing Ukrainian invasion by Russia, and the plight of the people who live in Gaza, still not really having any sense of peace or trying to survive the harsh winter conditions. We live in a world where it feels that darkness and gloom are all around us, threatening to explode into something much darker and sinister. And so we look to the light, to Jesus, and we walk in that light each day, looking to something greater than the world events around us, looking to God to reveal himself to us each and every day, in our community, and through the people that we meet. We look to how we can walk in that light of Christ and make the place where we live a place where Christ's light shines bright and is seen by all. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May God give us light to guide us, courage to support us, and love to unite us, now and evermore. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. In the name of Christ. Amen.